I guess I'll do a quick recap.
Good idea.
Just in terms of where we left off.
Did you really well.
So we had discussed last time basically two general directions regarding the nature of the norm that the Shani violates when he preempts the Ani Hamavik Harar. The one way to understand it is that it's sort of like a kind of a gezel, meaning that Hipuch gives the Mehape Cheschus some sort of claim, some sort of dibs upon the object, and the Shani violates that by preempting him. So that's the nature of this Isser, is that you violated the Cheschus of the Mehapech that was afforded to him by the Hipuch. Alternatively, it has nothing to do with that. Mehapech has no Cheschus, no dibs on any level whatsoever over the Chara, but the Shani here simply violates the requirement for him to act decently and sensitively. So we noted that the position of Rabbi Natam regarding Hefker, that there's a chiluk between Hefker and Matan on the one hand, and Mekach Memkar on the other, that the din here only applies to Mekach Memkar. That clearly indicates that he takes a certain side, namely the second side, and it also indicates more. In other words, he clearly held that it had nothing to do with Gezel whatsoever, but rather it was a Hanaga Yishara, you just have to act decently. And moreover, it gives you a very clear explanation and account of what's being required of us here, which is that person ought not meddle and disrupt, undermine somebody else if he simply has other options. Let him go somewhere else. So the point was, or Natan's point was, that if you in Mekach Memkar, you can take your money to some other vendor. They always have other opportunities to buy something. So there's just no need for you to undermine the Mahapech. Forget the Mahapech doesn't have a claim, but he's spent some effort on it, so let him take what he's in the middle of pursuing. So if it's all the same to you, and it is, so there's no need to gratuitously undermine him, so that's the problem. Now we noted that Rashi holds that it's true, even the Hefker could argue on one of two premises. He could argue that it has nothing to do, that it's an Isser, Mishum Gezel. Right, the Mhapich has a sort of a schus becharara via the hipuch, and violating that gets one a shame rasha, and therefore doesn't make a difference what we're talking about, if it's Mekach Memkar or Hefkar. Either way, hipuch gives you a kinyan, so a quasi kinyan, therefore it's going to be usher. Alternatively, he could have held that it's true that there's no claim here that the Mahabech has over the object. However, in other words, it's simply a requirement for Hanagi Yishara, but he thinks that more is demanded here. He disagrees about what is the content of the activity required in terms of this Hanagi Yishara. Even if you have other opportunities, he thinks that it's possible you'll have a chiyuv to refrain from preempting. And we'll get to that, we'll explain that a little more fully today. So we discussed a number of issues concerning the scope and the parameters of this halacha that could be analyzed in light of this question. First of all, whether or not it applies specifically to an only to an Ani Hamapich or even an Asher Hamapich. So we saw that the Ran and the Meiri limited it to an Ani, whereas others, if you see the tour, it doesn't say anything about it, do not. And we noted that the limitation makes very little sense if the Isser is a kind of a Gezel, meaning the Mahapich has some sort of Schus B'davar, and that's where the Isser comes from, so then it makes no sense to say, well, that's true, it's specifically an Ani, Gezel's Asser, whether or not it's just like Gezel is Asr, Bein Ani, Bein Asher, so too the quasi Gezel should be Asr on whatever level this is, Bein Asher, Bein Ani, Bein Ani, Bein Asher. Whereas if it's on Haga Yishara, so then there's room for such a chiluk in terms of how we would understand it. So we said that Misvaron could have understood that this is sort of giving you a specific, it's telling us that the requirement here is really stemming from Hilchos, I would say, Manos Aniyim. It's Taka, it's Pesach, Tifach, Sedecha. So as an extension of that, don't interrupt the Nani if he's in the middle of pursuing something. But from the Ran, it's clear that isn't so. The basis is really Ladavka Ani, but it's really just the Svar of Ibn Atam, and the assumption is that an Ashir can always find elsewhere. So even if he's the Mahapech, so he too can find somewhere else. He'll have the resources to find it elsewhere and to make it up, whereas an Ani won't. So it's just that because the Ani has no resources to make it up elsewhere, so therefore it's limited to Ani as opposed to Ashir. And the Nakamina, Jeron himself mentions, he doesn't raise this as a chakir, I'm just saying he says there, he himself paskins there, and when it comes to karkos, so there is no limitation to ani, because when it comes to karkos, so it's not matzu likach even if you're an ashir. Whereas if you were to hold that this whole halacha is a kind of, it's a din bib, so if an ani amapach b'char, you have to be gracious with him. It wouldn't make a difference if it were ani or ashir. Okay, so that if it were karka or not. So that's one issue. Then we also discussed three limitations mentioned by Rabbi Yeruch. The first, that he thinks that there's no din of Nikarusha where somebody else could be expected to get it if you don't. Second, where the mocher is an ani and the sheni is offering more money. So there too he thinks that there's no din of anayim ambech becharara, or there's no din of Nikarusha. And then the third is where the mahabech isn't doing this for parnasa, it's just a sort of a venture, a capitalist venture. So none of these, I think, make so much sense if the issue is something like Gezel. If it's based upon the schus of a mahabech becharara. If it's a hanhaga yishara of some sort, so then there's perhaps room to consider. Although regarding the first one, namely whether or not somebody else will get it, so there I mentioned that I think that's mechudosh either way. And I think now, just in terms of after we can suggest more fully that whether or not that is viable, I think really depends on the question that we raised towards the end of the last chabura, which is whether or not there's some takanas chazal here forbidding the sheni from being tofes ha'ani me'ach b'chara or not. If there's a takanas chazal, so then it seems to me to be extremely unlikely that we could say, well, if you know somebody else is going to do it, so it doesn't, you can go ahead yourself. Although it's possible in theory to have said, well, maybe we'll just say ki ha'gavna l'tiknu. That seems to me to be very unlikely, because we generally assume that the plug rabbanon, even where it makes sense, the rabbanon simply didn't sort of parse out their takanos like that. So I think it's unlikely to say that they carved out an exception. If you know somebody else, it's very unlikely. If there's a takana that there's some sort of issa, or perhaps that you're nikarusha for being tofes from an ani amahapech, I can't see that we would say, well, if you know somebody else is going to do it anyway, then go ahead. So I think that's extremely unlikely. If it's takanalis, right? If it's, we went on to discuss how to understand it. Then, if there's no takana, it's just perhaps within sort of caught in the net of some other principle, but it's not actually specifically commanded as part of a specific takana. So then it's maybe possible, still a chiddush. And the third issue we discussed was what constitutes hipuch. So I noted that the Maram, the Rambam Rehberg, says you need itzdafka after Pisak Adamim, until then not. Whereas others don't seem to necessarily agree, the Torah doesn't seem to say anything about it. So that seems to be that they don't agree. And we suggested that if it's based on the schus of the Mahapech Becharara, that he has a quasi-kinyan on it, so then it makes a lot of sense to assume that this is only true if it's after Pisak Adamim, because he can't have a claim on somebody else's property. That person who actually owns it has no inclination to sell to him at anything which he would be willing to buy it for. So unless the owner agrees to it, he can't have a claim upon his property. Whereas if it's a Hanhaga Yishara, so one could go either way. The Maim Rimberg himself, he argues for it on the basis, not of what I just said, but rather on the basis of the fact that otherwise you're causing a Pseida Democher. And we'll get to, in a moment, where he gets the precedent from that we take into account the Pseida Democher and these sort of things. But that's the way he argues for it, so that it is an issue of Hanhaga Yishara, but just that we wouldn't prioritize the schus of the mahapich or the benefit of the mahapich versus the moch when it comes at the expense of the mocher. So from there we moved on to discuss the source of the isser. We noted that what emerges from seems most Rishonim and Poskim is that this isn't some isolated isser or some isolated takana. It's closely related to other dinim, and depending on which dinim it's associated with, so we find different possibilities regarding the makor or the pasuk that forms the basis of the din of ani amach b'charara. Whether it's in basis in terms of nesmachta or perhaps more. The first that we saw was Vasisa Hayasha Vatov. This is what emerges from several Rishonim who draw conclusions regarding the scope of Ani Amahapech from the scope of Din Debar Metzra. Right, so we saw Din Debar Metzra is a din. Marma B'Mitzi and the Kuche says that it's Mishum Asisa Hayasha Vatov. We noted two possibilities regarding what that Mishum means. Either it's nesmachta or something more. Right, we said, noted the Rabban and the Magi Mishnah, they both point to Vasisa as one of those mitzvahs which sort of addresses a value or an ethic beyond the particular concrete commandments, but a broader ethic that one's conduct in a certain sphere has to accord with in general. What the Rabbanan, in these cases, what the Rabbanan came along and did, this is the Magi Mishnah sort of filling in, sometimes they would single out one such activity and provide a formal requirement for that, and also provide sort of the scope and the parameters of that requirement. I should point out that the sort of the ambiguous status of such a thing, which I mentioned, that's a subtle issue and it's somewhat difficult to pin down. But that ambiguous status, I think, is captured by the Rav Yeh. The Rav Yeh in Chuvos, I don't think I put this on course, the Chuvos of Biurei Sugyos in Simen Tuf Kutzarivav. So he defines it as being Karov L'mitzvah Saseh. He says, V'ani Omer, Acharei Shehu Mishum, this is about the, it was a subject that arose in the case of Dinar Mitzvah. Ani Omer, Acharei Shehu Mishum V'asisa Yashar V'atov, Harei, Hu Karov L'mitzvah Saseh, V'in L'fakvik, V'in L'harimba. That line is picked up by his Talmidim, the Orzeruah. The Grand Talmud. It also appears in the Chuvos Maranios. It was a Talmud of the Rambamberg, it was a Talmud of the Orzerua. So, this definition of it is Karov L'mitzvah Saseh, because it's Mishum Asseh Sivir Ashratav, I think captures that well. That it's this sort of in between. It's on the one hand, it is Bechlal, the mitzvah, but it's, as a specific commandment, really sort of given its contours by the Rabbana. In any event, it's clear that some Rishonim understood that Vasisa Hayashar Vatov, that Ani Mahapich is also based on Vasisa Hayashar Vatov. Hence, the Orzeruah, the Ran, the Rush, they all claim that this is the source of Rabbeinu Tam's chiluk between Mekel Memkar and Matana, Mekel Memkar and Hefker Matana, that you see, because the Gemara says Matana Lesbe Din Demar Metzra, it's for this reason that he can't be expected to find this elsewhere, so therefore we don't require of him, in that case, to really sacrifice something which otherwise is a one-time opportunity for him. So that was the source for Rabbeinu Tam's chiluk, there is no vasisa doesn't demand that of somebody, and therefore there's no dinah ani ma'apich there. Also, and this I think I neglected to mention last time, the Maharim Nuremberg mentions it for a different purpose, and that's in the context of the Pisuk Adamin. So now it fills in the picture a little bit. You had the Orzeruah on the one hand, and you had the Rush. So they both said that this is the basis for Rabbeinu Tam's chiluk, that it's based on Vasisa Hayashar, and we see from Dina Metzra what we learned, what the scope of Vasisa Hayashar. So the Maharam Nuremberg actually, he doesn't point to it in that context. He points to it in the context of Pisuk Adamin, and he explains is that we ought to take into account the Pseida de Mocher. After all, we see, and this is a din which is made clear on in Chukvuches Manav and on Mebezim of Metzia, that the din de Rametzra doesn't come at the expense of the schus of the actual bayit. We don't say that the mocher has to take a pseida in order for the bar mitzvah to avail himself of his matzranus. Because we're choshesh for the pseida de mocher, we don't doesn't make sense to say tova yashar for him at the expense of him. So, in that context, he says, therefore, it makes sense to say that we're also going to take into account, in the context of Ani Mepech B'Charara, the Pseida de Mocher, and therefore, it won't apply there as well. So I think clearly they assume that, indeed, this is the Makar for Ani Mepech B'Charara. So that was what I think what we... I raised the question, whether or not, what wasn't clear to me was, whether Ani Mepech is also, likewise, as I mentioned, singled out by Atakana de Rabbanan. And the Nafkamina being certain contextual variables, one like Rabbi Yeruchim's, I think, is impossible to say, right? That if somebody else is going to take it, so then you can do it also. If there's a Tekana de Rabbanan, you know, it wouldn't lokeach. You could never imagine that a lokeach shlishi lokeach would be able to just ignore the bar mitzvah if he thinks that otherwise somebody else is a Tekana de Rabbanan. It's a de Rabbanan. So I think that's extremely unlikely. You also mentioned one other case of the. Assuming that, let's say, there is a din of Asher HaMehabich B'Chorar, but what if the Sheni's a nun? Where there's a machokas regarding Bar Mitzvah, actually. So what would we... And Rabbeinu Tam rejects out of hand the ability, you know, making an exception there, because it's an Eim Rachman B'din, so I think that could be a function of the Takana, in which case that would be enough Kamina here as well. Okay, so that's what we were up to last time.
You also just started your rest of Shachar.
Yeah, so that's what... Right, so we started to just discuss the alternative possibilities for the Makor. So here, what we pointed... we're starting with was the both the Rashi and the Ritva. They think that it's closely related to a different din, not din de bar mitzvah, but rather yored lumnuso shachaver, yored lumnus chaver. Rashi just says that basically explicitly here, right? That it's yored l'chayi chavero, and the Ritva is also pretty explicit about this in Bava Basra, where he says the Gemara says that dinahu demakiv iluya. What was the Gemara Bava Basra's language? That in the case of Bar Mivoa,
who's
right. So the Ritva there explains that it's how do I know that this, that he has the ability to do that? Because we consider it a form of, a version of Aniyan Bechacharara, where we say Nikarasha. So clearly also related, and very strongly related. And I should add, and this is what I sent out, one of the things I sent out to him. Did people get it?
Yeah.
That the Maharit goes so far as to say this is where we get it from, that it's considered Russia. Because he quotes the drasha from the Gemara in Anisrafin, that that darshins from the pasuk, I think in Yecheskel, the pasuk says that 1 second, yeah, that the Gemara says v'es eishes re'eu lo time, so they interpret that to mean shelo yarad lunus chaveru. So and afterwards it says siskas sadik alav tiyev versus Russia. So we see that it's considered to be a Russia in the case of yarad lunus chaveru. Okay. So clearly they held that it's essentially a either identical or it's parallel to the din of Yoredu Nusa Shechaver. Now, when it comes to Yoredu Nusa Shechaver, so there we find different approaches regarding what its basis is, what it has to do with, and I'll just highlight a one now, which is sort of the Rush. The Rush makes clear in the Tshuva, I have it in the Makor sheet, that he believes something which I think is pretty compelling, he just assumes this is true, that that the din of Yoredu Nusa Shechaver, according to the Mandamer that has it, and even if you so big my focus is showing, but A, who we paskin like in that Gemara, and also what are the parameters of how we paskin, but many Rishonim do assume that at least at some level there is a din in some case of Yoredu Nusa Shechaver, but the Rush there says clearly implies that this din is to be viewed as part of the broader constellation of Hachakos and Zikin. Right, it's clear this is how he understood it. This is Shekhar Chakos, this is in Chal Hei Simon Gimel, Shekhar Chakos HaShniyos B'Vavasra Perek L'Yachbor, which is primarily dealing with Chakos HaZikin, Ha'inadavka Hechad D'Dovar Nismach Mazik L'Shcheno B'Guf Mamano Kegon. So he gives examples of different things that Chakos HaZikin are just things that the Chazal, basically in the Perek of L'Yachbor, deem that you need to be Marchik, you need to distance, let's say, an oven in those days where it's combustible, was, you know, something that was liable to go. Yeah, so various sorts of things that a person cannot, has to make sure that it's not bordering his neighbor's property. He has to be Marchik so that there shouldn't be Nezikin upon his neighbor's assets. So he says, so the Rush simply lists this as one of them. So the question actually was dealing with, I don't know if anybody got a chance to see it, you saw it, was whether or not, to what extent the person who has a makom in the base medrash, in the base kinesis, can do things that sort of make his neighbor's makom sort of, you know, less enviable. And basically he says that he doesn't believe that there is any problem with this, and he quotes that a person who's that, you know, all these harchakos that you have, that you shouldn't be able to put up something in a certain place, because it's all those, it's your mazik, you're directly being mazik that shachin's property. But if a person is simply building within his own property, lashpiach nechasa ve'eno mazik leguf mamon chavero elam shemafchisa midamav, but it's just that it somehow makes it less valuable just on the market, natural forces in a sense. So that's not ki ha'gadna lo tzichu chachamim leharchik. And he quotes the exception to the din of Yoredu Nusa Shechaver. Kigon, ki de perek le'achver, osa adam chanos v'tzach ha'nusa shechaver. Ve'ena yachal l'mchos v'yadav m'nish yachal omar lo, ata osa b'tzach shechav, ani osa b'tzach shali. That's one day in the Gemara there. So he says, even though, so it's clear in any event that the Rush viewed this as being simply one of the harchakos hazikin, that you're required not only to be marchik, a damaging agent, but also damaging activity. Can't set up a business which is going to be damaging somebody else's. Wait, so it's one of the Archakos and Zikin, yeah?
I'm just confused. I didn't see the Makor. You said it's an exception to Archakos and Zikin?
No, it's not an exception. That Shita is one of the Bari Pukta in the Gemara there. I'm not getting into it, but Rov Poskim, for sure, think that everybody agrees. I'll give you an example. I think it was Chatzos Zofar who says that if it's just a question there of where it's, you know, to the extent to which you're if it's just impeding it as opposed to really just, you know, really,
you're
really undermining
yourself up, and the result is a devaluation.
Yeah, right.
That wouldn't apply.
That's potentially the machlokas in the Gemara. This part
why
I want to get into.
Why would what? Apply?
Which one are you talking about?
Why would it
what's
be
here?
True that you are helping yourself with the result of a devaluation of someone else.
No, you're not. You're able to build up your own property, let's say, but it makes, let's say, for instance, there's only one property in the whole world that's got such beautiful walls, and then your neighbor builds up a property which has also beautiful walls, so that'll devalue the other person's property. This is not one of a kind anymore, but the person is being bona betoch shalom. That's something which is, I don't think anybody disagrees about. The other questions which are subject to the machlokas there, and that's what the Rosh himself points out, but I don't want to get into it.
I know Abe is not bona betoch
shalom. No, I'm not talking about, we're talking about, he's addressing Yorod
betoch
chaveiro. Where does that come from? So the Rosh thinks that that's part of the achlokas in Zikin. That a person is chayav to be marchikit a business which...
What's the other tab? That's all I'm understanding.
Well, we already discussed...
Is that even Dirabana?
Oh, we haven't discussed yet. What?
Is that like even the really Dirabana?
Well, I'm about to get to that.
It's not even like...
I'm about to get to Achakos and
Zikin.
Well, that brings up the question of where the Achakos and Zikin come from. But
yeah, I have another question.
Yes.
Where does Zikin come from?
Well, you're asking if there's an alternative to...
Forget it.
To considering...
You're saying there's someone who's cholik in the Rosh, no?
The Rosh is pointing out that there's two deos in the Gemara.
What's the other day?
In the Gemara in Bavasra about whether or not under what in a certain context whether or not a person can be ma'akev his friend from setting up a business there. Right. It's just that I'm saying there are a lot of details there that aren't even fleshed out in the Gemara. Many assume that both deos are modet to some extent to the ability to be ma'akev setting up a business. The only question is what are the parameters of that. In terms of how far, how close, who is this other person, whether or not it's, to what extent it's really undermining his business or just simply lowering the profits. So there are all sorts of details, but the Rosh is addressing that. Just notes that. But he's just pointing out that that the chiyuv of the Yorod in Masech Chaveiro is simply one of the Archakos Nizikin. And the truth is that it's pretty compelling just textually. That's where it comes up in Shas, in the Parak of Archakos Nizikin, Liachor. And that was clearly what he said. That's clearly what he assumed. All the harchakos, liachor, kigon, etc., and one of them is kigon paske de chiyuse.
Clarifying question. Right now, we're just going through the character of Yorod and Menasseh without any.
I'm not drawing yet for Aniyam Abed. Yeah, I'm just going. Yeah. What is the character? What is?
Great.
And from there, I'm going to harchakos Zikin, because that's now what the right according to the Rosh this is.
And from there, it's Zikin.
So where's harchakos Zikin come from? So one could have said, well, they're just sort of pragmatic takanos, but. Several Rishonim offer suggestions that no, it's actually rooted in Torah. The Gra, I don't want to get into this too much, but the Gra takes us pretty far. He thinks that actually Sfekos might be in principle Sfekos should be der lechumra because it's somehow rooted in a Din Daraisa, the Biar Gra. But I don't want to get into it. But where does it come from? So the Yad Ramah actually offers two suggestions, but we'll just mention one of them, which is, this is the Yad Ramah in Bava Basra and Chavav Amin Aleph, Haimai Segufe, so Isurahu, meaning setting up, putting your damaging, your potentially damaging oven, right, your combustible engine, right next to your friend's property, that itself is an Isur. To Asur the Migra Midi, to Asi Minei Ezekalinchi, because it's Asur to set up something which is potentially damaging somebody else. Mishum v'atel recha kamoch. Based on the reason is because of v'atel recha kamoch. Now here, too, it's not entirely clear whether what he means is that this is an esmachta, meaning not like the gra. It's who held it. It was mamash deraisa, or potentially deraisa. But rather, it's just it's a takandir abanan, and the takandir abanan is it's a smachta v'atel recha kamoch. But I think it's possible that it's more than that. It's something like we discussed in the context of the Magi Mishnah and the Ramban. It's Bechlal and the Hadal Recha Kamocha in that broader sense that we say what you do to others what you don't want happen to done to you don't do to others. So this was Bechlal that. In fact, when it comes to the Hadal Recha Kamocha, we have precedent for that phenomenon exactly in the Rambam. The Rambam. In somewhat an enigmatic Rambam.
Categories, and how do you decide if something's v'atorech mocha or v'astisa yasher v'atov?
If what?
If we're holding like the Ramban and these things fit into general categories, how do you decide if something's v'atorech mocha or v'astisa yasher v'atov?
Well, they express different characteristics.
What do you mean by how do you...
Avoiding...
I haven't gone to Aniyam Ha'abach yet, but...
I know, but even here.
Yeah. What are Chakas
Zikin? Why couldn't it be v'astisa yasher v'atov? How do we decide? Meaning, My point is mm-hmm. that the fact that
maybe could have suggested that. I think that's my point.
I think that.
Well, I think it's
You're more likely to say it's an asmachta
mm-hmm.
if it doesn't really tie in specifically to after echamucha over vasisa yasharato. We can't really.
No, asmachta has to be serious also.
I don't know. I mean, why couldn't you say vasisa yasharato then? I mean, the Rush himself gave a different explanation of this. He said it's mishum derech adarchi noam. Now one could have. I mean, there I would have said it's probably. Well, we'll go back to that. Actually, I was planning on skipping that Rush. You're saying that if it's. I mean, why would he choose without the derech kamalcha as opposed to vesi sayash
Exactly.
But he did. Right. It happens to be that, as far as vesi sayash, we already see that Rabbi Tami already. Or at least the way that there was a Ruah and the Ron, and in fact Rashi himself, about Bar Mitzra, Vesizya Shavatov, they take to mean don't do things which are just gratuitous, if you have an alternative, right? This is the Rashi in Bav Metzia, which I actually
that applies here also?
No, this is not great. This is something else entirely. This is a person wants. It's best for a person to put the oven next to. You know, he wants to have his kids
so
be able to play.
He wants to have his oven
put next to the border on his next to the neighbor's property. Not because he wants to damage the neighbor's property, just because it's just the best place for him. What does one apply to the environment? That it should be Mishma Hafta? Maybe, but.
It's better.
That what?
Better for the person.
Does it doesn't matter as much here, to be honest, because it's communicating values that do have psukim, obviously, but is it so important to get it perfectly right anyway here?
To get what perfectly right?
Meaning, like, let's say that Ariel's right, that, like, there's no legitimate reason to have...
I think you want to identify where it is we're getting this from, but the truth is...
No, but it's communicating
it can color
perspective,
yeah.
So it's not as... I'm not saying it's not important.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's not as important as if it's that's mamish the din. Like, if this pasuk is the din. Right here, we're communicating... like the sheet of the Torah.
Right, but now the question is, and now is he mechuyev to do this? And if
it could be overlapping, like, I don't think it has to be one.
Yeah, there could be overlapping. There's no question. I'll give an example now, actually, in explicating the Rambam, which I was discussing, which is that the Rambam in Hilchos Avel says mitzvah aseh shel devrei in levaker cholim nicham avelim, all these things nicham avelim levaker cholim hotzas ameis achnisas kala. He also has big misameh chasam kala. All these things that are mitzvah aseh shel devrei. And then he says at the end of the halacha, this is in the same halacha, Av bi shekol mitzvos elim divrayim harein bechlal v'after the recha kamocha. Kol dorm shetar rotzeh sheyasu asam lecha acherim. And this is the ikar. If you look in Hilchos Deos, which I, in the interest of not having too many pages, I cut it out. But the Rambam in Hilchos Deos is where he actually lists the mitzvah v'after, and he just defines it basically in this sense. Kol dorm shetar rotzeh sheyasu asam acherim asay asam achicha b'tor mitzvos. That's a mitzvah. Is whatever you want to do, have others do to others. Whatever you want to have done to you, do to others. But
what are we including that?
That in Hilchos Deos, nothing else. He just says that's a mitzvah. Now
he says v'chein kayotze b'zeh.
What?
I'm pretty sure in this Rambam he says v'chayotze b'elu. You didn't put it there, but I think I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, v'chayotze b'elu in the these things of gemilas chasadim.
So then is this a rye that he wouldn't say like Yad Rama? No.
I'm just bringing this as a you see in the Rambam that we have that what the Magen Mishnah speaks of with respect to v'asisa yashar v'tov. I'm about to argue is clearly in the Rambam what the Rambam means regarding v'atal recha kamocha, how these are all derbanan. This is actually where I mentioned to Rav Luchatzin, well, maybe he means that it's a kiyum min haTorah, but it's a chiyuv only derbanan. So he thought that no, that it's a chiyuv min haTorah too, just on a different level, in a different way. And I think actually, if you look in the Sefer Mitzvos in Sharash Beis, I think that seems to clearly be what emerges. The Rambam there is rebuking the Behag who listed several mitzvos derbanan in his list. And several things which the Rambam thinks should not have been listed in the way that he listed them, and one of the things that the Baha counts, or one of the things the Baha does is he counts separately gemil sasadim, bikucholim, gvuras mesim, all these things he has as separate mitzvos of the tarayak mitzvos. So he says, the Rambam says in Sefer Mitzvos that he thought, the Baha thought that each of these. That chashvuki kol poel or pula me'elu apulos mitzvah bifnei atzma. So he thought they were all each of these pulos is a mitzvah bifnei atzma, and he's wrong. V'lo yadu ki elu apulos kulam v'adomim lem nechnasos tachas mitzvah achas michal mitzvos aksuvos b'tor b'feirush v'hu amar mitzvah v'adorecha kamocha. These are all required. They're all mitzuvim under Vatorecha Kamocha. Now, I think that the sort of the Michal Avatesh Mehen, they are mitzvos bifnei atzman midirabanan. That's exactly what the Rambam is saying in Hilchos Avel. There's a mitzvos ase midivrayim, levakir cholim, nachem evelim, separate mitzvos. Each of these have been singled out midirabanan. But midiraisa, they're all bechlal Vatorecha Kamocha. So I think it's exactly the sort of idea that you have in the Magen Mishnah with respect to Vesisa Gesher. You already have in the Rambam very clearly regarding Vatorecha Kamocha. Now, I mentioned you can have overlapping. The Rabban actually thinks that he argues on the Rambam, he thinks that Baha'i can explain Baha'i differently. He himself suggests or entertains the notion, I don't recall if he ends up concluding this way, he thinks that this is Bechlal based on a different Gemara, that these are all Bechlal Valacha Bedracha, not Vadlerecha Kamocha. One could argue maybe they're both, or maybe there's elements of both. The Rambam, when he discusses Valacha Bedracha, it's for him, it's virtues, right? Racham, Chanan, etc. But the Ramban, based on a different Gemara, says that there is also Mahu Menachem Avil Mafata. Right, so it could be one or the other. I mean, I think it makes a difference in terms of how we understand it, in terms of the basis of it. But yeah, okay. So if
you, the Ramban didn't give it an example, doesn't that make a difference?
I don't think he thinks on Imam Abich Bechor is that,
or like the or the Yarama. He wouldn't say that that's Yarama.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Hachagos Zikin. I'm not. Let's say I don't think it's.
If you think the list is exhaustive, especially.
Well, I'm not sure if the list is exhaustive. I mean, there's no basis to claim the Rambam agreed with the Yadarma. Meaning that there's a specific takana that was under. I think it's. But what I would say is it is plausible. I mean, the Rambam is clearly plausible. I think that
you
don't want to be your property to be surrounded by all these. By what's the phrase? Something dangerous. Waiting to happen. What's it called? That's something waiting to happen. Disaster waiting to happen. Or whatever, I don't know.
I'm saying it's important in terms of how
all these your property is, is just sort of this booby trap on all sides by these disasters. You wouldn't want to live like that, so don't do that to others. That's where it comes from.
I think to know how far to stretch these categories is particularly very important. And so to see how far the Rambam would, and which the other.
I'm not claiming the Rambam.
I'm just saying it's important.
Yeah. So I think it's. So if we just follow that thread, so by extension, what emerges is the possibility that and I think it makes sense in and of itself if you think about it, that the source of Ani Amach Charara, the root basis of it, is Vadlerech Kamocha, perhaps Blita Kana, but Vadlerech Kamocha, just as you wouldn't particularly like it if somebody swooped in on you and undermined all your efforts and all your Isuk and all your time spent in pursuing this object, and then all of a sudden, somebody else comes and boom, undermines you entirely. So don't do that to other people. So that's another possibility that emerges. And then finally, I think you find the possibility that Ani Mahapech really is rooted in the Isser of Gezel, or something like it, something very like it. And I think this comes up in two ways, in two different ways. First is via the assumption that we just discussed, noted that of the Rashi Ritva Marit, that this is all somehow of a piece of it's the same sort of takana as Yoreh Lunus HaShachaver, because other poskim and even other Rishonim give a very different account than the Rush, although I think the Rush is compelling. Well, that it's Bechlal Takana Sarachakos Zikin, other poskim seem to think suggests otherwise. The Rama implies that it is subsumed under Gezel. This is a famous tshuva of the Rama, mostly famous, I think, because he discusses at length what is Bechlal Dinim for Shevet Zvenei Noach. You saw it last year?
Siminyut.
Right, so he, but also significant for our purposes.
What did you say?
The Rama.
Yeah.
Where basically the Maharam Padua worked very hard and printed a Rambam. He was joined by by a printer. He has a word here for it, I've never seen it. Yantelheimer. I don't know what it means. But I think it means some printer. I think it means. But either way, from the context, you can see that's what it means. Some non-Jewish printer. So he joined with him. They had a cooperative effort to put out the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. And what happened? The Rambam was being asked this. What happened? Some other printer, non-Jewish printer, was upset. Wanted the Maharam Padua to involve him in the effort. So he himself went and he printed another edition of the Rambam. And they want to know, can we say, is it mutter now to buy let's say, the non-Maharam Padua edition of the Rambam, or not. So he was dealing with the aspect of the question that, you know, you have on the one, there are two non-Jews involved here, so maybe we should be subjecting this to the discussion of whether or not this is Bechlal, Dinim, that are incumbent upon Bnei Noach. What?
Oh.
Upon Bnei Noach. Because there these two Bnei Noach. Meaning these Yontalimers, the other Yontalimer, the other Matpis, the second one is non-Jewish. So he says
he said Din Bnei Noach.
Potentially. Meaning maybe they're not.
Yes, he's
it's not when there was a Jew involved also.
Yeah. Maran Padua, yeah.
How does a guy print the Rambam by himself? Does he know how to read it? Does he what's he?
It's so he's very academic.
It must be a Yid.
Yeah, but the Yid, the other one may not be necessarily a party to the. I assume that you're probably right, just as a matter of history, that probably he had to involve somebody. Somebody had to look at the Rambams.
40 years ago, there was a Shai like that. The old Sansino Gemaras, precursor to the Art Scroll.
Right.
Some company called Traditional Press.
Yeah.
Took all the matrices, just reprinted it.
Right.
Same Sansino under their own label.
So it wasn't clear to me if that.
If the time, it was a big sichsuch.
Yeah, but it wasn't clear to me if that's what happened here, that he actually stole the work of the Maran Padua, or he just put out the Rambam at the same time as the Maran Padua. I'll take a look at it again. I was just going over before. I actually don't recall if that was part of it. I think that would, if it were, he would have been, that would have been first up in the.
The question is about Budi or not. That's a different.
Yeah. So he was claiming though that this, whether or not it's our dinim or their dinim, he thinks that this is subject to halacha. Now, he himself advances the claim, which is really farther than I think anybody else. Had suggested. I mean, the Ramban in Al Torah suggests, and it's Machlokas Rambam in the Ramban. The Ramban Al Torah suggests that they're required as part of the Dinah to have a comprehensive civil system, civil law. So they need to have something corresponding to our, you know, Hilchos Shulchan Meshutin. What?
Copyright.
Yeah, but they have to have a comprehensive civil law. It's not just enough to have, you know, something very basic. They need to have a total system of law. That's what's required of them. Whereas the Rambam held no, the six. The mitzvah of dinim is to adjudicate the other six, right? So the Ramban seems to go take the Ramban one step further. It's not just that they are required to have a comprehensive system; it has to be our system. It has to be our chosh mishpat. So that's probably the most famous part of this Ramban, is that he thinks that, at least according to the others that are cholik on the Ramban, they're required to be, you know, they need to be looking at our shulchan aruch. But he himself now is, and what's relevant for us is he's saying, you know what? Even according to the Ramban, let's agree that the Ramban is right. Sheva, but meaning as opposed to the mitzvah, the seventh mitzvah is to judge the other six. Mikol makom beosan mitzvos on those six mechuyavim ladun b'din Yisrael. So he thinks that's true, and he says, meaning it's not just that, meaning as far as those are concerned. Okay, so maybe he's not required to be done hilchos shulchim shutvin from our shulchan aruch, but hilchos gezel. Because right, they're not even mechuyav in hilchos shulchan, but hilchos gezel they are. That's one of them. And as far as hilchos gezel are concerned, that's they have to look in our shulchan aruch. V'anidon shlofanenu shehu agezel hu echad mishavet mitzvah shalahem. You actually don't know what the case is. If you're looking at this Rama, it's kind of, what are we discussing here? So then he says, when he gets to that whole akdama, some part of it must have been lost, but he gets to the whole akdama about he thinks that, you know, that it really makes. It really is subject to what is halacha apidin shulchan aruch if there were two Jews. That's the same. That's the equivalent here of that's what's relevant here. V'hoil or biranu v'chachnu shadanin kuti b'din Yisrael v'nino kuti Yisrael kishneni molim navo v'nikpatz elamakom asher dibarn divrein holchem sham. Now you find out what the case is. V'nidaber la ma'isa asher naaseh ba'olam, that this person who's nodah shema b'chakim agalon d'ram parua, so he. Some agamasav, rayonasav, makshavasav, to put out the Rambam. Perhaps a chibur gadol mishatora. It's a derech agav ha'ara that if you take a look at Rav Asher Ziv's dissertation on the Ramah, he says that obviously in terms of halacha, so the Ramah was, you know, very tried to write what he saw as Rav Yasu's Kara's sort of ignoring psak min hagashnas. But as far as his shkafa, there was no single more dominating influence than the Rambam. Interesting. You see it in Shuvas, in terms of the place of Limudei Chol, not the Rama would call Limudei Chol, but you know, beyond other things as well, in terms of the, well, you can take a look, but it's just interesting. I thought it was interesting. But anyway, so he said, so the Rama was extremely enormously influenced by the Rama's Mishnah Torah. So I omitted some honorifics here, but not just because saving space. So anyway, he says, yeah, so he's going to publish the magnificent work in Rama's Mishnah Torah. V'hine kamechad gamkein yantulaimer, somebody also. And he also says, I'm going to be atvis anochi gamani. So he says, now, if this were Dine Yisrael, which I think, because of what I said before, is essentially the relevant question, what's a din b'dinei Yisrael? If this were two Jews, let's say, so it's clear that the Gaon, Maharam Padua, is correct. Why? And he says, I can explain to you for four reasons. The first of which was, he saw the Pasha Rishon, who beperkul yachbor, Amar of Huna Hai Bar Mavoa, the Okim Recha of Asi Bar Mavoa, Chavre, the Kamokim Gabe, Dina de Machiavelli. Now, this Ramah is also famous just in terms of Yoredim Shchavero, because there's a Mordechai here and there. He's explicit now that he's passing like that day, which is not so clear even in Chosh Mishpat that he does, but he's explicit in the Tshuvos that we had to be Choshish for that day. So therefore, he says, "In Kain, Arei Lefanenu, Shemidinenu, Inlo, Liyamtolai, Rasheni, Litvos, Zekklal, etc." So in other words, this is Bechlal HaGezel. Yored in Mishpat Chavero, apparently, is Bechlal HaGezel. So that's one Makor. Which is a strange thing to think about, if we think about it. I'll get to how the Chazal ever understood this. But another strange makor, but this is sort of separate from the Ramah, not the Ramah, but the Rokeach already, Rav Eliezer Migermaiza, right, one of the Balei Tosfos. So he has in his Sefer this following line, Hevi Zayir b'pasuk v'chei achicha imach v'lo sasik v'lo, or parshas v'chei achicha imach v'lo sasik v'lo, al tikach lo mechiyasa. Don't usurp his business, his parnasa. And he says, and he goes on, and if you do it, so that it's Nicarasha, Vein Gazlan, Kamoso, etc. Now, what he seems to be suggesting is that somehow the Isser of Yored Lumnasa Shchavero is Bechlal Batasig Re'eu. This, I think, is clearly the source for the common colloquial terminology of Hasagas Gvul, which Minatora is referring to Oker to Kumo Shchavero. You're only over Eretz Yisrael if you actually take a right when it comes to Sifrei says when it comes to Eretz Karka Eretz Yisrael, so lavor lavo shnei lavin, not just gezel karka, which the Sifrei is very explicit about, that this is not our topic, but there is an iser gezel for karka. Karka mizel doesn't mean there's no iser gezel, as opposed to tozos in the beginning of iser nesha. But in addition, you also have the iser of oker chumash chavero. That's what Hasagas Gvul refers to. So what is the rokeach saying? So the marshal. When I saw this one, I thought that's very. I'm not sure what they're okay, saying. Then the marshal says, "Rabim Tamu," about this point, they say. One second, he's talking about this case of being mikapech michiyasa shachavero. Says shadina hu the makiv love, and he's in Russia. Kimo hamahapik chacharara ubacher benatla. So he's throwing in that in there that he's throwing that in there as well. Then he says, maybe it's an asmachta. Okay. He thinks that that's not, it doesn't sound like an assassin machta. And then he says, he suggests something which is just interesting. He says, Elanire be'ena shekachu mekubal me'rabosav, that the Rokeach had as a Kabbalah. De'oru maso gvoreeu bala harbos asagas gvul shal maso matan. The Mel is any quite a precedent of this, where something's bechlal ha'oru, even if it's not technically bechlal halav. So here he says too, Hachinami afsha in a Torah liyos masik vul mamish, mikom makum marbin on the iser maor masik vul mamish. So in the end, I'm not sure exactly what it means, but he himself is aware this is sort of a strange phenomenon that you're bechlal the aor but not the lav, and it's, in what way is that? Is this a dinderaisa? Not so clear. The Chasim Sofer really thinks it means he's just saying it's midiraisa. I'm not sure. I think he quotes the marshal as saying this as well, but I'm not sure the marshal said that. But either way, he quotes both the Rama and the Rokeach as basically holding that this is Gezel Min HaTorah. And he thinks he squares this with the Beis Yosef as well, even though Beis Yosef is clear that it's a Derabanan. Beis Yosef is in the context of why there's an exception to a Tam Chacham. So Beis Yosef says the whole thing is Min Derabanan Ba'ama, so Mitzur Barabanan, they didn't make it. So he, the Chavos Sofer says this is not Soser. Actually, it's Soser neither the Rokech nor the Ramah, who held that it was Gezel and even Gezel in the Torah, because he thinks this is part of the halachos that are Minag Yishuv. Medina says the famous Tshuva, it's quoted in the Piska Tshuva. In Siman Ayin Tes, this is Chavos Sofer, Siman Ayin Tes, that Masur Nakasel Chacham Li Yisrael, that they can be Koveya. Now, that itself is actually all that controversial. That Chazal and that Bati Dinin, Shuvas Arash, where they even any the heads of any town can be koveya the halachas of that town, the minhag yishuv medina. What's surprising, he thinks this is all somehow under Gezel. That's how he explains these shitos. He thinks that kol inyanim elu masur makasal chachamim v'heim ro gam yishuv medina b'zel lahachse gadas v'shalolas batal mitorah v'yirbu chacham b'Yisrael v'adalei havalei din Torah. None, so as far as that's concerned, not so controversial, but more likely that most understood that as being part of the Chal Mitzvah Dinim, or perhaps Mitzvah Mino Shoftim, or perhaps Ubiyardar Mikabecha. Either way, he thinks that that's Mishum Gezel. That becomes the Chal Gezel. So, Nimtzi Yafachiev Aramala Lahu Arma, Shemachayev Dinim in a Torah, Shemachi Chayev Gambana, the Yafakasav Arabi Yosef, Kule, and everything is wonderful. So, that's how he understands these Shidos, that it's really Gezel in a Torah. Either way, what's clear is that Yorid Limsush Chaver, according to them, and you see already the Marshal threw in there Ani Mahapich, meaning he was now adding in the Rashi in the Ritva, that these are all quasi Gezel. These are all somehow related to either Gezel, Lo Sigzel, or Hasagas Gloriae, which is essentially a relative of Gezel.
I just wanted to share it because it's also directly related to Ani Maruchara. In explaining Rabbeinu Tam, the Marashdam says, Aval Bishadain lo zacha ani bo klal, Aval kevan she zacha bo ktsas have a gezel gamur.
No, but that's referring to what we're going to get to in a second. That's not referring to the Ani Amabachi. So he's saying Rabbeinu Tam, we'll get to what you're... he's addressing the cases where So that's one way in which which you can understand that it's ultimately based upon Gezel, which is through the association of the Yorid and Nusach Chaver. I think a lot of posts can assume this, because they throw in all these things together. Ani Amapich, Yorid and Nusach Chaver, and Gezel, and you see in the Marshal himself that he was already doing that. But there's another way, I think, that you could explain it's Gezel. I don't know that anybody took this explicitly, but it's clearly implicit in the Tosfos. Because the Tosfos, in defending Rabbeinu Tam, or in elaborating Rabbeinu Tam, ask a question upon him. And when I say, I mean, the other route here is going to be not through the association with Yorid and Nusach Chaver, but with the association, or through the association with the din of Ani Amanakif Berosh HaSavis, right? Which is referring to an Ani who, it doesn't have to be an Ani, presumably, but anybody who simply let's say, Sadishal Hefker, and he's kind of just, sort of shucking off the, I don't know what the word is, he hits off the trees so that the grapes, let's say, can be easy for him. He can then collect the grapes from the floor. Yeah, that's what he's doing. So the Mishnah in Gittin says that this is Asur, that the Chazal forbade this, as Gezel, either Gezel in Nedar HaKishalom or Gezel Gamor. Rabbi Yossi says in the Mishnah, I had this in the Torah later on, right? This is the, I think, one of the last pages, second last page maybe, that, is it in the second one? Yeah, the Mishnah again says, among other things, that were Asur Mishum Gezel, so you have, right, like Mitzias Cheresh of the Katan is an example, Ani Amnakev Berosh Zayis, Mashitachtav Gezel Mendejar HaKishalom, right, he manages to get down on the floor, so that's now considered to be Gezel Nedar HaKishalom. Rabbi Yossi says it's Gezel Gomer. The Gemara explains later, and we'll get to this, that it's Gezel Gomer, Ladavka Min HaTorah. Why? Because he hasn't done a Maisa Kinyan. Meaning he's managed to get them down on the floor, but he hasn't actually been, he hasn't done Kinyan Mashiach, but he hasn't done those yet. So it's Aser Mishum Gezel, that Chazal basically talking that he is Konin. And then therefore there's an Iser Gezel Midirei. So that's the Mishnah of the Gemara in Gittin. Now, one could have asked a question Rabbeinu Tam from that Mishnah of the Gemara, which is, what exactly, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is the difference? Why is it that, what differentiates an activity such that it's considered hipuch and not menakev? Meaning, Recording Rabbeinu Tam, it's mudr gamor, it's heter gamor, to be no tell charar shel hefker from the mahapich bo, whereas according to Rabbeinu Tam, everybody agrees that there's an iser gamor, there's an iser gezel, kind of gamor, mura, of gezel, when it comes to ani hamanakef, and that's clearly hefker. So you could have said, so what exactly, where is the difference between hipuch and menakef? That's a question that is perhaps most pressing for Rabbeinu Tam, because he held it was mamash mutter, ani hamanakef is mutter, but it's theory applicable to Rashi too. I mean, Rashi, even if you hold it, it's that there's an Isra Anay Ma'abich Chorara, but still there's a difference between Ma'abich Chorara and what's Aser Mishim Gezel in the Mishnah. So one could have asked just what is the difference between Menakev? Why isn't this considered Menakev? And you could have given an answer. But that's not the way the Tosos formulated the question. They formulated the question as, if you hold, like she does Rashi, that the Isra Anay Ma'abich Chorara applies, Bein Mekam Rekam, Bein Behefker, so then I can read this Mishnah Nicha, I understand that there's an Isser of Gezel Mnei Dar HaShalom in the case of Ani Amenakev. But according to Rabbi Tam, holds that there is no Isser Ani Amenakev for Hefker, Mechadesi. That's the way they ask the question. Oh, so actually I think it's
actually not in our Tosfos here. It's in the Rush.
Tosfos the Rush here. Okay, you can read it from Tosfos Rush.
Yeah. Ani Amenakev Rosh HaZayis Tamino Bereshin Yizokim.
Right. But there are, either way, that was, and when did you bring it up? It's an added kasha, right? Because if you look beforehand, the rush is just what Artos has, right? You know, trying to basically deflect all the rayas that you could potentially bring for Rashi, right? This is not a raya for Rashi. Because I can answer that Shani Hasam de Tarachbe, right? So, what was the Havamina? Right? Meaning, why would we think that this is a question that is particularly important for Rabbeinu Tam to answer? So the Havamina apparently was, I think, nobody's going to say, I don't believe, that the that Ani HaBechorara and Ani HaMenakef are, you know, they're identical. Or that you would say about Ani HaBechorara that it's Gezel Mibnei Dar HaShalom. That, I think, is hard to, you know, if that were true, then you would see that here, I think. But what they might say, what I think they would argue, is that, is again, the Havamina and the Tosos, and we can just say the Tosos Rush for now, but find it again, that what they're saying is that the Isser of Gezel Bnei Dar HaShalom, in the case of Ani HaMenakev, is somehow based or built upon the Isser of Ani HaMahapich HaCharara, such that the fact that there is an Isser Gezel Bnei Dar HaShalom, in the case of Ani HaMenakev, counts as the Fumrita, evidence, for she does Rashi. And then we need to explain, no, it's we can answer for Rabbeinu Tam. The answer for Rabbeinu Tam is Shani Hasa. But the point is that for Rashi, that's simply an outgrowth of the din of Ani HaMech Bechorar. And I think what we can explain is as follows. The Havamina of the Tosfos Rashi here holds of the Svara of Ani HaMenakev that emerges regarding Ani HaMenakev, that emerges in the answer that he gives for Tosfos, Torach Shani, right? Which is that Tircha's grounds for recognizing a kind of a kinyan, a claim, dibs upon, a skus upon an object. Right? If you're Toreach, you know, in that way, so that gives you a kind of claim upon the object. But he holds that the Tircha of Hipuch is also sufficient to give one such a claim. And in fact, the Ma'arit, this is also the Ma'arit that I sent you, he even asks, Shani Hasam, the Hidus Sofer Genizakin, I don't know why according to Tosfos, it's not there actually. But he says, so he's answering the questions upon Rabbeinu Tam, one from the Marchikin Esadag. Then he says, Vahi de Sofer Kanizakin, Ani Amenakev, Shani Hasam Shetarach Lapilam. Then Tomar, Ani Amabi Chorara, Milo Askinan Shetorayach Acharea, that's what it means, Vahilachi Rasha Lavadu, the Mikre, right? So he says, right, meaning that the Ani HaMenakev Rosh Keren Hazayis is doing something which is beneficial and which advances the kinyan of the person who's coming after. He's now reaping the benefits of my work that I was knocking it down from the tree. So that's what the Tircha is. That's what Tircha is. Tircha Mo'ilo L'Misha Barachara. But it's possible. I think what you would explain for the Havamina was that maybe Lavdafka. Even the Tircha of Hipuch is sufficient to create that sort of schus in the chefetz. But what we'll answer is that what Chazal did was they came along when it they recognize the difference between tircha and tircha mo'ila. When it comes to tircha mo'ila, so then the iser of ani mahapech, which is sort of natural, in a sense that it doesn't involve a particular takana of iser mishum gezel, they said we're going to amplify that. We're going to actually label it aser mishum gezel and nedar hashalom. Aser mishum banan is gezel, just like zelas mitzir chesher of the katan in the Torah. There's no kinyan, so it's not gezel, but midar banan. We say it's gezel. So too, this is mamish gezel midar banan. That's where it's tircha mo'ila. So that it, in effect, according to the Havmin and Tosos Harash, what you have is that the iser of ani hamenakev rosh hazavis really does count as sort of evidence for Rashi that ani hamahapech applies even beyond hefker, because it's just based on, it's an amplification of the yisod that you find regarding ani hamahapech charara, namely that tircha creates a quasi kinyan over a chepetz. There's a difference in terms of the level of tircha, and that has a difference in terms of the what the din is. Say for Rashi, for instance, and here you could say one too. You could say, you know, in the case of ani menakev, it's mamish iser gezel midirabanan, it's nechus gzela. Mamish, it's nechus gzela midirabanan. In the case of ani menakev, so you could argue maybe there's no takana, particular takana, or maybe you can argue that there's a takana, but perhaps the takana is simply the nikra rasha, but it's not actually formulated as an iser gezel. But either way, the yisod is the same. It's just a difference of chumrah. And therefore, that's what the Tosfos is saying. Rabbeinu Tam has to respond. I understand ani menakev according to Rashi that there's an iser gezel nedar hashalom. Why is there an iser gezel nedar hashalom according to Rabbeinu Tam? There's no din of ani amapech b'charara defker. So what emerges according to this is a sort of a separate track. I'll just finish this last statement. Right? There's a separate track, another way we can sort of identify this as being connected with gezel. Is via this, I think, is clearly implicit in the Rosh's Havmina, which is that it's associated with ani amnakev berosh hazayis. That iser is itself sort of based upon an expansion of ani amnakev charara. That iser clearly is gezel midar hashalom, and therefore I think what you have there is another possibility to view this as sort of being a bound up with the iser ani amnakev. So there's two different ways you can understand the Isser as being rooted in Gezel, either through Yorid and Nusach Chavero, the assumption being that it's ultimately rooted in Yorid and Nusach Chavero is ultimately a problem of Gezel, or even aside from Yorid and Nusach Chavero, just what the implication is here in the Tosfos Rush, that it's sort of the underlying assumption of the Takana of Isser Gezel, Mamash and Isser Gezel, of Ani Menakev. All right, so we'll pick up next time, hopefully finish up with the topic, in terms of just relating this to both the issue of some of the things we saw before, and then we'll continue on to the question of the consequences of what happens if you're Nikra Rasha. So what? So that will pick up Mishnah Sunday. Is Sunday good for me?
Yeah.
Okay.